And I'm excited that we get a chance now to take hold of our Bibles, and I could see some people have some Bibles ready to hand out. If you need a Bible or you've got your electronic Bible ready to go, the bulletin then would be necessary for you because you could find out what the password is for the Wi-Fi and be encouraged. It's right on the inside page there, so we're thrilled that you're here. Our OSL, how outstanding is that? Our life groups, amazing. So life group leaders will encourage you to fill out your life group questionnaire and just fill those outlines, take them into your group. We grow together as a community, and I just want to highlight and encourage you with that. In so doing, a couple of shout-outs. Victor Vicio, thank you. 5 years as our director of men's ministry. Just want to give that. I'm going to lead us in prayer for the message. If you don't mind, I'm just going to include as well a couple of things. So many of you know, love Poi Smith. Poi Smith's going to be having really brain surgery this coming 25th. He is doing well. Basically, any form of growth in his brain. He once had cancer, but those masses are dead, and they're wanting to remove some of that because it's restricting some of his mobility in his legs and arms. So let's keep him in prayer, but let's pray right now. Rick Rowe as well, love that young 72-year-old, had open heart surgery with a valve placement, but he's still needing our prayers at Orange Coast. And so he is just continuing to really kind of be maintained by a respirator. He needs to be made whole. Let's pray together, shall we, and believe for some great open heart spiritual surgery for us. So, Father, we love you, and we thank you for demonstrating your love to us through Jesus. And, Lord, you're the one in your word in Romans 8, 37, that he who did not withhold his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how much more so will you give us all things? So, Lord, thank you for bringing healing completely to Poi. He's already really bypassed completely what the doctors thought a survival rate would be. And for Rick, we speak healing over both of these men. We want to thank you. Each of us are here. We are walking miracles of the testimony of your grace. Open your word now to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, if you'll take a look, we are the third week into our Sunday series, which is entitled, really, Following Doctor's Orders. And it's interesting we're looking at that. But in the months, summer months of July and August, and even going into September, we've been looking at the spiritual gift of healing. And the attendance on Wednesday night was the largest we've had. It was humongous. The anticipation and the pursuit of really recognizing that all of us are to pray for the healing of the sick. But I would recommend that there are one-third of normal Christians that have the spiritual gift of healing. And you would not know that unless you're out there just praying for people and see what happens. Now, the testimonies of healing are phenomenal. You'll hear some tonight around the fire ring before we go into the waters of baptism. I'm excited for you to hear about those, but it's intriguing to me to see what God's up to. And we're going to let the Lord have opportunity in about 25 minutes or so, because we're going to invite you to come forward just to see what the Lord does. That's the beauty of giving God an opportunity for an environment like this to see what the Lord's going to do. So much of that has to do even with now today's message, because today's message is entitled A Grateful Heart and Healing. We're dealing with our next aspect. We started with the beautiful element of just coming to the Lord in prayer and how through prayer, communion, cooperation, and just calmness, that was our first week, how that we recognize that, boy, the Lord really wants us to enjoy what he's to do. How many remember the Lord's Prayer where he says to encourage ourselves to pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me just highlight, do you think there's any sick people in heaven? No. Well, I would think that then it's God's will that there would be healing for people here on this earth. So what we've been enjoying and encouraging ourselves with is primarily the goal was to just clean our minds of doubts, especially for the people of God. so many of us walk in doubts. And we're definitely just in an environment where we just doubt ourselves or doubt whether God or not really is going to work or do anything for us. That's what we are coming against. We're moving against doubts. And so today, when we take a look at a grateful heart, let's kind of look just a little bit with Thanksgiving with this in mind. Isn't it interesting? Because we were dealing with, many weeks ago, how that we are people of covenant. Now, a covenant is a contract between two parties. That first covenant started in the Old Testament. God set it up with Adam right there in Genesis chapter 2. But that didn't work out so well. As you know, we are incapable of following through with things, and sin came in there. And then the second covenant, the New Testament, aren't we grateful that Jesus came, fully God, yet fully man. And through his sacrifice on the cross and resurrection, remember when he said it is finished, a new covenant comes in. The beauty of having Jesus be our representative as opposed to Adam is that he won't fail that covenant. And we are, by design in Jesus, we are now grafted in. We're sons and daughters of God. So we've been dealing with our identity, and I'm so glad you were with us last Sunday. You can still go on our resource on the website and take a look at our relationship. Take a look at all the scriptures that say who you are in Jesus. Because again, I want to remind ourselves, be careful about the people you associate with. It will regulate how you view yourself or what you say. It is important when we consider what God is describing his name. Who are you, Lord? I am. Tell him I am sent you. Whoa. I am anything we need. Well, why don't you take a look at using that too? I am complete in him. I am born of God. Take a look at those scriptures, and that's important for us. Why are we encouraging ourselves? Again, we're coming against doubts that would say you're not capable. You're just a regular person, barely hanging on by a thread. Because we're wanting to believe that there's something where God wants to work in your life and bring healing and wholeness there. So God's given mankind dominion. It was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We remember that. The fall, sin came in. We lost it. Works of darkness, the devil took it over. You remember when he attempted to tempt Jesus, especially with that one where he came to the Lord and said to him, if you are the Christ or the Son of God, go ahead and bow to me because see all these kingdoms. I'm going to give those to you. And it's my authority to give to whomever I will. Now, that's true. Lost dominion, lost authority. We need Jesus. So with that, Jesus captured those things back. Aren't we grateful for the Son of God? And in so doing now, well, you and I have that authority. And as we talked about last time we were together, using the name of Jesus, so important to recognize the validity and the power in that name. I like Psalm 115, verse 6, that the heaven, even the heavens of heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So friends, there are people that you probably know that need you to bring down the kingdom of God. Now, there's going to be some of us that really capture this and understand that, and it's been wonderful to see it happen when we step out. I am confident part of the key for you and I to progress in the things of the Lord, because I'm going to just claim that this is a believer's meeting and you're wanting to just do much more than just attend church. Therefore, Thanksgiving is so important. And today's message, a grateful heart and healing, is so vital. We're going to take a look at Psalm 103. It's where I'm at. I encourage you to go there. But it's interesting, a grateful heart, an attitude, a real attitude of gratitude. A cynical businessman wrote this: people are ingrates It took me 61 years to find that out. I have 175 employees, men and women. At Thanksgiving, I sent them 175 choice turkeys. Only 4 thanked me. 2 thanked me by notes, and 2 said thank you when they, by chance, met up with me in the hall. Because of their thanklessness, I have decided to never go out of my way to be nice again. If you want, he says, to find gratitude, look for it in the dictionary. What an attitude. Aren't you, I know I am, aren't you grateful that God is not that way? It is not in human nature to be thankful. Oh, we're thankful when we're happy. We're thankful, but to go out of our way, that's not in human nature. Many times we work so hard as authority figures, parents, you name it, to remind our understudies, namely children, now say thank you. They don't say that naturally. This is what we have with the Apostle Paul. Verse 1, he is in, most feel, in the lowest, darkest times of his life. And this is what he says. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. We're going to read a little bit later on that, but he expounds on that quite a bit. Let me highlight what Thanksgiving really attributes to God. Thanksgiving is our response when we say, this is what God has done for me. The word bless literally means that I am ascribing my gratitude for what he has done for me. Worship is declaring what God means to me. One is, this is what God has done for me. It's my thank offering. Sometimes in the lyrics of worship songs, if you listen to the lyrics, you can say, oh, that's a Thanksgiving song. God has done this. He's about to do this. A worship song, how magnificent. That's a worship song. And both are appropriate. Both are significant. We're encouraged in Scripture to come before his presence with thanksgiving. So as we take a look here for Paul, excuse me, for David, it's his darkest times. And isn't it interesting how our eyesight, if we were to take a look at a white sheet, and there's a black dot on that sheet. Isn't it amazing how we say, oh, man, the sheet's ruined. There's a black dot. We're focused on that black dot, even though there's so much white within that sheet. Or you take a look at the great summer days we've had here in Huntington Beach, but yet they'll always bring up the element, well, we've had some real overcast days, and how about that humidity? So we overlook the tremendous days, the outstanding experiences we've had. So let's take a look at a couple of things. Number one, the response to God's benefits. Again, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It's interesting because often there are times when David will say that to himself, and he's saying it right now. I will bless the Lord. I will thank God. That's what he's saying to his soul. In Psalm 34, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Get with it. Help, soul, and get in there and thank God. Those are important statements, and we can see the response that he has. Matter of fact, you're in Psalms. Let's go a couple of chapters to the left. Psalm 100. Look at verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. There's two words there. We've been talking about that. Again, the response. We come into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. That is an appropriate pursuit. And when we're taking a look at coming to hear doctor's orders, how and what he wants you to do or even experience, it's always good to come in and say, Lord, I'm so grateful what you have already done. Or just having an attitude, I am grateful. And that's why I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord, and I thank him for all the things that he has done for my life. So significant. The Jews would often open up in prayer and say, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God." That's how they always start their prayers. They're literally saying, "We thank you, O Lord our God." In Leviticus chapter 7, the whole chapter is talking about this is how that nation was to bring in thanksgiving, thank offerings. This is how you go about it. So it was important for God to even tell his people, it's important for us to just invite ourselves by way of reminder, man, thanksgiving is where it's at. Being reminded, thank God. Offer thanksgiving to the Lord. In Leviticus 22:29, I like that. 22:29 literally just lays it out and says, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." So the decision, I think, is very pleasing. Don't you like it when somebody actually really steps out and just goes out of their way to thank you? Well, thank you notes are appropriate. It's really like, wow, I got your note. That was really impressive. So significant of our own free will to offer God anything. Today we've had an opportunity. We worship the Lord. The words, there was plenty of it. I will sing and bless the Lord. Why? He's done some cool things for all of us, but a few of us are recalling that. And it's important that we engage that. So in the Old Testament, it's interesting how often Psalms brings that in. It is vital for breakthrough, especially when it comes to healing. It's vital. In the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. The Essenes were a religious group there. They literally took all of the Psalms that attribute to thanksgiving, giving God blessings, in one book. And they wrote it. So at specific holy days, they rolled that baby out and said, let's read them. Let's go into it. Let's specifically spend our time. In the New Testament, check it out. Here's how the writers in some of these epistles would start off thanking God for people. Romans 1, verse 8. First, that's a quote, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Here's another one, 1 Corinthians 1:4. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus." When was the time that you or I start off saying, "I just want to thank God for you. Man, you matter to me." Or you start off by writing, just call you up and say, "You know what, I want to thank God for your involvement in my life." Here's another one. I like it in Philippians 1:3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." You know, people are placed in your life by the hand of God. And say, "Well, I think I want to go over here or be a part of that establishment or be, how about right now?" Sometimes we believe God to move us right over here and we're unhappy and disqualifying ourselves, disgruntled because of where we're at right now. How about that attitude of thanksgiving? Lord, you can do some things. You've already done some things. It's a great breakthrough. It's amazing. So, again, thanksgiving is defined by what God has done for me. Worship is defined by who he is to me. So that's important. If you ever say, "Well, let's get into worship," it's not what he can do. That's thanksgiving. You come in there and remind yourselves all and everything. So important. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. And the peace of God will come." So he knew that. We know that. But again, offering thanksgiving is so much a necessity, especially when we need to be reminded. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So I know you know that. We know that. But what prompts you and me to be thankful to God? Where is that moment in your day? What is that? When do you stop and say, "I'm going to start listing all the things God has done"? I'll guarantee you run out of paper room. Matter of fact, you'll probably run out of paper. We need to work at being thankful, but it's an amazing thing. September 8th, the year was 1860, on Lake Michigan, a steamship called Lady Elgin ran into a frigate, and the ships ruptured. Hundreds of people lost their lives. There was a young man, he was a Northwestern University student, Edward Spencer. You Google him, you'll see his story. Matter of fact, you'll see his eulogy. His family eventually moved to California where he died. But this young man saw the tragedy way out there, rough seas, difficult waters. He was a good swimmer, swam and rescued 17 people at a time, bringing them back to shore. It was said he never finished his degree, but because of that, when he had collapsed out of sheer exhaustion and his body literally tore up, that he never fully recovered. Ill health all the days of his life, broken health. And what was described toward the latter years of his life, he said that his phrase was, "Did I do my best?" He literally kept asking that. The cries of the people still in the water haunted him all the days of his life. But he said this, "Not one of the 17 people I rescued ever looked me up to thank me." Well, it's interesting when we never really take occasion. George Patton, one of America's greatest generals, 35 years of military experience, and he received a letter, he says, from really only one, maybe two, really only one soldier that thanked him for his leadership and keeping them all safe during those years. He stated that. So people have a hard time saying thank you. It's in human nature, is it not? New York Times published an article every Christmas. They kind of bring that up every now and then. They describe through the post office all of the little children's letters requesting something from Santa Claus. But then they follow up on it. Just mounds of letters. You can see that, right? But how many children wrote Santa, say thank you for them? Now we know Santa doesn't give gifts. Some of that's a revelation. I'm sorry to break that to you. But really, they found only two children wrote Santa saying, "Thank you for my gifts." So you can see here, when we're talking, we might say, "Man, what prompts me to be thankful?" And I'm saying to you, that's the gateway to see the Lord do some great breakthroughs. You must remember, the root of rebellion against God is ingratitude. If you ever want to see a person that's about to break free and break loose from God and God's community, they stop being thankful. Romans 1, verse 21 says, "Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So you can imagine here, David begins his psalm by saying, "Come on, soul, get with it. Come on. We can do this." To be truly thankful, point number two, we take a look at that, the recollection of God's benefits. To be truly thankful requires a good memory. If you're having a hard time with your memory, you don't remember things lately, it's going to probably affect you in your gratitude toward anybody. You need to get with it and start writing down points that you know God has done for your life. Because if we want to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and bless his name, got to have some substance there. You can see here as we look at verse 2, back at Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He starts listing those things. It's interesting when we take a look here because David's list comes right down, because if you're going to think properly, you're going to thank properly. Everybody remember that. If I think properly, I will thank properly. Sometimes we don't think so well. That's why we're talking about just getting rid of doubts and, "I don't think God likes me anymore." Wow, that's going to really stymie your interaction with him. because that's a false assumption. So let's take a look. He says here, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. That's a great way to start. Just in case you forget how much he has forgiven you and me, that's the beauty of the cross somewhere displayed. Because we need that reminder how much he has actually forgiven us. Wow. It's a great benefit to remember we really owe God our gratitude for the forgiveness of sins. Take a look at the next one, who heals all your diseases, verse 3 says. Isn't it interesting? Because in so doing, the amazing thing of just disease, one translator, one commentator actually attributes it to all ailments because he's talking soul here. So this commentator says it also deals with the emotions. God's going to heal you emotionally from anxiety, from depression, from discouragement, from doubts, from fear. I like that. I'll take it. All disease. It's a good thing to remember, has God ever healed you of something? You walking in that area of just that health that you need. I like that. People are going to need you to be confident in God, what he has done for you, because that's the beauty of it, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If God's done something for you, go love your neighbor that same kind of love that's been described and declared to you. We take a look at number 3 as we go back to Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Now, that literally says, one translator puts it, who redeems your life from waste, from a wasted life. Glory to God. Man, I like to put it this way. He redeemed your life from the pawn shop. If you watch Pawn Stars, nobody's bidding for you. God says, I'll take that person. I'll take you. He redeemed your life from a wasted life. God does that. Only God does that. So it's important for us to recognize that and preserves your life from the grave. Literally, literally. That's what that word destruction means. You don't have to fear the grave. Man. Something happens to you physically, glory to God, you're going to live forever. We know we all live forever. We just get to choose where we're going to spend eternity. Let's choose heaven. I get a witness?
Amen.
How about number 4? Go on. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. What a great recall. Where does that fit in? Well, the mercies of God, it goes something like this. Have you gotten a job lately? Yeah, I earned it, man. I worked hard for that, man. That's the mercies of God. You get a raise at that job? Yeah, that's the mercy of God. When you take a look at anything you have, God is being merciful to you. So he takes a look at that. You have a successful surgery? Mercy of God. Mercy of God. And if you're still alive today, the mercy of God. Mercy of God. How about number 5? We'll go back. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Why would he bring that up? You know, the Jews, literally, when they're done eating, they give a prayer of thanks to God that the meal was good. Have you ever bitten into something and say, ooh, that is really good? You got to pause it. Lord, that's good. Satisfies my mouth with good things. If you're lacking taste buds, for whatever the reason, sometimes sinuses, maybe medication, Lord, I claim good-tasting food, huh? Or help my spouse to cook better. I don't, either which way. Just, I don't know why I said that. I know I'm going to get mail on that one. We're talking restaurant. Pick and choose wisely. Take a look at number 6. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory to God. Taking a look at that element is so important. The area of how our youth is renewed, responding to God's benefits. It's interesting finding that seems like some of the healthiest people are people that are God-fearing, hearing the voice of the Lord, doing what's right. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. The next day, I knew something happened. How? because I woke up and I wanted to read the scriptures. A miracle. I woke up and I wanted to live for God. And I woke up wanting to pray, not knowing, but I could talk to God. If you've lost that, you can get that back. But don't forget those benefits when the kingdom of God came down and you were stoked to be a daughter or a son of God. OSL helps. You need a kickstart. Get into the discipleship program and have that renewed interest and desire once again. Well, I want to encourage ourselves with this. We're going to put a pause on this. It's amazing what God does in our lives. And I want to encourage us in a moment now as we just welcome our worship team. We're going to believe for some miracles. We're actually going to have our altar prayer time begin. It's amazing. Over 48 years of giving and living my life for the Lord, most of it intentional, some of it in a backslidden state. But I want to just thank the Lord and praise Him because He did not give me what I deserved. He gave me what He knew I needed. And even if you don't know what you need, God does. We're going to invite you in just a moment to come and receive prayer at the altar here. Matter of fact, the encouraging thing is how rich and how wonderful the Lord is to meet you. It comes by reason of thanksgiving. We're going to do this right now. If you don't mind, let's get our hearts ready. This is still a part of church. We're still right in the middle of service times. I'm going to invite those who are life group leaders and those who have been invited to come. Would you come and station yourselves up front here? Be ready to pray for people. I want to encourage you in this regard. We're used to this. We're excited how the Lord does miracles. It's going to require us to come forward and to be thankful. You might just say, you know what? I don't know what God has done for me, but I want to be thankful. Watch how the Lord's going to do a breakthrough. We're inviting each and every one of you to come. Just come, receive prayer. Watch how your needs will be met. Watch how the joy and excitement come. Watch how certain breakthroughs happen. But for me and for you, we want you to take what the Lord's about to give you and be inspired to hear from heaven again. When Jesus starts speaking, doctor's orders, follow those things. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to worship the Lord during this time of praying for each other. If you're ready to come and receive prayer, would you come down the center aisle? We would like to make sure men find a man and be prayed for by a man. Women, find a woman that's available and go and be prayed for by a woman. Let's worship the Lord and let's receive prayer. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.